First John, chapter 2. It'd be okay, Aaron, if you just ran them down through 20 through 27. I think there's just four verses, but that would be good. It'd probably be easy to do that because it's a group of scriptures, but I'm going to focus on three of them. And John, I always liked John's writing because he was an eyewitness. Jesus had 12 disciples. I mean, there were others too, the other 70, but specifically, his main ministry involved he and the 12. But then within the 12, there was an inner circle, Peter, James, and John. And I don't know what that connection was, except that it seemed to be more to the ability to absorb spiritual information. I guess that's the best way I could describe it, because when you read James, you read Peter's letters, and you read John's letters, whether it's the Gospel of John or his letters, John had an incredible amount of revelation about spiritual things. And particularly, he wrote a lot about the Holy Spirit. He wrote a lot about God's plan of salvation. He talked about being born again. But when he wrote these epistles, starting in verse 20, and I'll read it in the King James because probably, is that the only one we have, Aaron? Okay. So, and then I want to read it in the Complete Jewish Bible, which is really an excellent translation. I hardly knew it was available, and I came across it yesterday, so I would like to bring it from that. But we'll do the King James first because that's going to use some words that I want to talk about today. Verse 20, "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you do know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son." See, the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, was very prevalent even going way back then. "Whosoever denies the Son has not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also." Verse 24, "Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him." And the word is anointing. I want to talk a little bit about the anointing. Because we hear that word often used in the body of Christ, and some people are, because of denominational restrictions, they're not really probably permitted to talk about that as much as a gathering like us, because this is very normal for us to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. But the anointing, and I have a whole long study on the anointing, but I want to pull out some words that John used. First in verse 20, "But you have an unction." That word is an interesting word, and I've heard people present this as an unction to function. It rhymes, but it's very meaningful. When you have an unction to function in the Holy Spirit, an unction is an urging, a prompting, a leading. Something is stirring in your spirit to say something, to do something, to act out on something, to speak something. It's an unction. And that's an interesting word that the Old English uses in the King James. Also about the anointing, the word anoint means to pour out or pour on. Sometimes when we pray, Barbara and Sue, quite Barbara's is a Copter sister's plea when she comes up for a prayer, she says, "Grease me up," and I know what she's talking about. You know, so we always have a bottle of grease here on the table up front. Actually, it's olive oil with a little bit of cinnamon. And because olive oil is great for applying to blisters, burns, scratches, cuts, things like that, because even in the oil itself, there's some qualities about it that make it healthy to use. But it means to pour out or to smear all over. I think of when the mantle or the lintel and the doorposts up in the front area, you can see Tom is taller than me. He makes sure he gets those doors. And I'm just pointing those out to you because that's what happens when you do that. There's something that happens. You make a place of contact or a point of contact to release your faith when you use anointing oil. Even the priests in the Old Covenant were anointed with oil. And it signified or typified the Holy Spirit, so that when they were anointed of God, they were called of the Holy Spirit. And they were also called to apply the blood on their right ear, their right thumb, and their right toe. And the ear was to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is speaking to the priest. Now it's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. So it's not so much our physical ear, but our spiritual ear. And the right hand, the right thumb, we serve with our hands. And so the right hand is everything about God is in His righteousness is the right hand. So there's some significance to the anointing on the right thumb as well. Also, your big toe on your right foot, that represents your walk, your witness, your testimony. And it's very important for that anointing to be upon those places. But this anointing that John was talking about was a little bit different. It's also the presence and power of God. It's God's way of touching and ministering to His people. But the thing that John was wanting to remind them was, John was there when Jesus spent quite a bit of time teaching about the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel of chapter 14 and also chapter 16, he talked about the Holy Spirit, and he said that the Holy Spirit was with them, but He would be in them. He spoke those words. And it was the Holy Spirit, of course, giving him that revelation and that understanding. So, but now comes a time, during the time that John wrote this letter, there was a lot of persecution coming against the new believers. And the whole deal over it was the Holy Spirit. Imagine that. What a troublemaker, huh? The Holy Spirit shows up, trouble comes, because people are so skeptical about the things of the Holy Spirit because they can't see Him. And Jesus told His disciples that too. But you'll know Him. For people refuse to believe in the Spirit because they can't see Him. He's not something that you can see physically. You can see the results of His presence physically, but you can't see Him. But Jesus assured them not to be moved by the fact that you can't see Him, for He dwells in you. And so going from there, let's look a little closer. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. When you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, you have access to know everything that you could possibly know about the Lord and about the Spirit, because the real teacher of the church dwells inside of each one of us. But there are those who will try to take that away from you. They will try to sow things into your life that could cause you doubt or could cause some unbelief in some areas. And so this is a letter warning them be watchful of these things, because you're living in an age, when he wrote this, that there were people sneaking in, disguising themselves as Christians, but trying to undermine the church by telling people there's no Holy Spirit, there's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those things were old, the old covenant. When God anointed or called certain individuals into his service, there was an anointing placed on them. There was a call by the Lord who anointed, like even David or the prophets, God anointed them, or the Spirit came upon them. It didn't indwell them, but that was called an anointing. And that's why David wrote, "Touch not mine anointed," because God defends and protects those that he's called, those that he's chosen, those vessels that he's anointed for his purposes. God is going to watch over those people's lives, and he's going to guard and protect them. And don't mess with it. I made that comment last week about certain ones who we could say they died of natural causes, but some of them that gave us a hard time aren't around anymore to give us a hard time. And one lost his ministry. So this is really serious. And John is warning them, look out for these things. So the word of God is for today. So let's look a little further. I want to read the same verse out of the Jewish Bible. "But you have received the Messiah's anointing from," I hope I say this right, maybe you can help me out, Barbara or Marlene, Hakadosh, that means the Holy One of Israel, right from the Spirit of the Living God. The Jewish word for this is the Anointed One or the Holy One of God, the Holy One of Israel. In Isaiah's book, he mentions God, the Holy One of Israel, 31 times. So it's like another name of God that we're not familiar with. We're familiar with El Shaddai and all the other, there's 12 that we're pretty common with. But John is backing up what he's saying with the authority of the only true and living God, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. "And you know all this. It is not because you don't know the truth that I have written to you, but because you do know it, and because no lie has its origin in the truth." So this is a little different. "Who is a liar at all, if not the person who denies that Yeshua is the Messiah? Such a person is an anti-Messiah. He is denying the Father and the Son. Everyone who denies the Son is also without the Father. But the person who acknowledges the Son has the Father as well." It's interesting to hear this from the Jewish perspective, isn't it? "Let what you heard from the beginning remain in you." Now, Don and I were talking with Gary this morning, because when we hook up before you come along, we were talking about that which you heard from the beginning. That's an interesting phrase. When each of you have your own salvation experiences, but there was a point in your life when it was the beginning for you, the beginning of your new walk in Christ that you didn't have before. There was a period of time that was your beginning. And that's really important, because we all had our testimonies and our lives were what they were, but we all, every one of us in the body of Christ, has a starting point with Christ. And so this is what John is referring to. He's referring back to that which you heard from the beginning, their beginning. Might have been in the synagogue. It might have been they had the scrolls that they had and were preached to about the Messiah to come. They didn't tell them it was Jesus, but they knew there was something in the beginning of their walk with the Lord. They had something from the beginning, and each of us do as well. "But that which you heard from the beginning," and they heard from Jesus himself in person, live and in color, right before them. And that was their beginning of what the Messiah would bring. They could tell by the Holy Spirit that gave them revelation and understanding that Jesus was the Messiah. And so what you heard from the beginning, let that remain in you. Don't ever let anybody talk you out of it. I've had people try to talk me out of the Holy Spirit, but it was too late. Because once you got him, the Spirit of truth is now dwelling on the inside of it. And John's reminding them, there are people that are going to come, and they're going to do you harm over this thing about the anointing, this thing about the Holy Spirit. But you need to hold fast. You need to hold on to that, because in the last days there are mockers and scoffers. You know, you've read all of the end time scriptures. But here you see John reminding them of this truth. Let that what you heard from the beginning remain in you. If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, listen to this, you will also remain in union with both the Son and the Father. All right? If what you heard from the beginning remains in you, the Holy Spirit, it's like he's become a part of us. Let him remain in you. You will also remain in union with both the Son and the Father. So it's interesting, from it was probably a born-again Jewish person that converted this, or maybe this was like this in the Hebrew before it was converted to English. But being in union, the Holy Spirit is what holds us together between Christ and the Father and the Spirit that dwells in us. When we have communion, that means come in union with, but together as a body, we have communion. Every Bible study, every prayer meeting, every time we come together, we're coming into the union of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's the part John is telling them. Don't you let anybody mess with that. You stand for it. You have the Spirit of truth living on the inside of you. You know the truth. And I'm not writing this letter because you don't know the truth. I'm writing this letter to you because I know that you know the truth. And now I'm saying, you hold fast to it. And this is what he's promised us, eternal life, in verse 26. I have written these things about the people who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the messianic anointing you received from the Father remains in you, so that you have no need for anyone to teach you. And I know there are teachers in the body of Christ, but the flow of the Spirit tells me that no one needs to teach you about the indwelling Holy Spirit, because he's already in you. And the Holy Spirit reveals his presence in your life. There's something drastic that happened. Some miraculous change took place the day you were born again. And that was the day the Holy Ghost moved in and energized and caused you to live, to be able to live spiritually and to be saved and to live the life of a believer, the one who leads us and guides us into all the truth. And then he says, on the contrary, as his messianic anointing continues to teach you about all things. You know, Lorraine, you were talking about the Lord speaking to you and encouraging you to pray in tongues. Why? Because you know just as quickly as I do. You start praying in your understanding, and it doesn't take 5 minutes before other thoughts are coming into your head, messing up your prayer time. I like what Jerry Seville said one time many years ago. He said, I like to get up early in the morning and pray, but every time I do, I fall asleep. And you know what the Holy Spirit told Jerry Seville? Get up the same time you always do and stand on the edge of your bathtub.
Yes, sir.
Now that don't sound too anointed, but God spoke that to him. And he never had the problem of falling asleep in the morning when he prayed. And I just thought, how come I didn't think of that? Wow. So it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us things. And it's true, it's not a counterfeit, so just as he taught you, remain united with him. Now, I have one more. Can you handle it in the Living Bible? It's only four verses, but there's a lot of meat in here. It's kind of like the seminar paper I have on the anointing is about 20 pages long, so I'm really trying to keep this concise and to the point, which is sometimes difficult for me to do because I always keep wanting to keep going in there and adding more. Okay, here's the Living Bible. We're still in verses 20 through 26. But you are not like that, for the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you know the truth. So I'm not writing to you as to those who need to know the truth, but I warn you as those who can discern the difference between true and false. And that's in our everyday language. That's right there where our kids could understand this somewhat. Because that's what the Spirit of Truth does. It reveals what is true, and it reveals what is false. It also reveals the spirit you're dealing with another person, because people do things as a result of their being influenced by one of the other realms. There's only two. There's the Holy Spirit, and then there's the other one that's not so holy. And no, it's not Casper. Casper was a pretty good ghost, but he deceived people. So that's not a good thing. But he was friendly. He liked taking you away from the truth. Don't listen to Casper and don't watch his old cartoons anymore, because you'll see them all differently now. But I warn you as to those who can discern the difference between true and false. And who is the greatest liar? The one who says that Jesus is not Christ. Now, John's other epistle, the third one, I believe, he talked about testing the spirits or trying the spirits, because he talked about the spirit of Antichrist already being in the world, and the Holy Spirit will tell you whether you're listening to a spirit of truth from another person or whether it's the spirit of Antichrist, because the spirit of Antichrist, any person who is functioning or unctioning under the spirit of Antichrist can never tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He can never tell you that he's the Messiah. That spirit is absolutely set against it, and it will never allow that person to speak those words. That's why oftentimes demons would scream out when Jesus would show up on the scene, and he came and said, "Why do you torment us before our time?" You see, they knew who he is, and they knew their end. They just didn't know the timing of it, but they had a terrible future. So my word to you today is every time the enemy tries to come and tell you about your past, you stand up on your hoofers and speak this. You may speak that about my past, and I agree with you, but that's not who I am now, and I'm here to remind you of your future, and my future looks a lot better than yours does. And be firm about it. Now, go like that. It's kind of like what Don says. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. You know, put some footwork into it. It'll make you feel really good. Such a person is Antichrist, for he does not believe in God the Father and his Son. For a person who doesn't believe in Christ, God's Son, can't have God the Father either. But he who has Christ, God's Son, has God and the Father also. Here's the admonishment. So keep on believing what you have been taught from the beginning. All the things that you've learned about Jesus the Messiah, our Savior, our Redeemer, hold fast to those, and don't let anyone talk you out of it. Don't watch the Jesus movies that portray Jesus still in the grave. And then they can't decide. They fight over three of them. But it don't matter, because they're all empty now, so, you know, let them fight. If you do, you will always be in close fellowship. What? If you hold fast and believe what you've been taught from the beginning. If you do that, you will always be in close fellowship with both God the Father and his Son. And he himself has promised us eternal life. And now for the anointing, which he wrote about in verse 26 in the Old English. These remarks of mine about the Antichrist are pointed at those who would dearly love to blindfold you and lead you astray. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you, in your hearts, so that you don't need anyone to teach you what is right. For he teaches you all things, and he is the truth and no liar. And so, just as he has said, you must live in Christ, never to depart from him. And that word to dwell in, some of you that may have the Amplified version, when they come to the word dwell. I mean, let's see. I lost that thought. It means to abide. It means to dwell in, to live in, to remain attached to. So people like John use the word abide a lot. Jesus used the word abide. It means to dwell in, to remain attached to. So once the Holy Spirit comes and he moves into our life, he does that. He doesn't come and go like in the old covenant. He would come for a period of time and anoint a particular person, an individual, but then he would leave. And that's why Jesus said, take not your Holy Spirit from me, because David knew how weak he would be without depending on the Holy Spirit. Even though he was the king, he still needed God's wisdom to rule over the kingdom in a godly manner and have a source of revelation and understanding that one would never have without the Holy Spirit. But now that he abides in us, we're the house, we're his living place. He dwells in us and abides with us, and he said it would be forever. So that's my little condensed Reader's Digest version of the anointing today.
Amen.
Yes.
Can I speak now?
Yeah. Oh, she's coming forward. She's serious. That one's not on. You can activate it. That's the green one, Aaron. Oh, is it now? Okay.
It's green?
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't want to do it before you were doing your scripture, because I'm anyway. So last week, remember we were reading from James, the book of James, and it was I think it was like 3:13 and 17 and somewhere in there anyway. So first of all, after I read this, tell me if you don't see that it compares to our pastor. I mean, I know we're speaking about the Lord, but I also think when the things that he said were all about him, too, and he didn't even know it, but anyway. So he was talking about how we are such a blessing to others, and every time we do it, we don't do it to be blessed, you know. We are that blessing. And he's like that. He was just like that. But anyway, and know what you're called to do and stick to it. And so, like James, in the book of James we were in, and he was talking about wisdom coming from above. And he has that, you know, and he shares it with us all the time. So we have it too, I know. So first of all, pure and full of quiet gentleness. Then peace-loving and courteous, allowing discussion and willing to yield to others, full of mercy and good deeds, wholehearted and straightforward and sincere. And those who are peacemakers, too, will be planting seeds of peace and reaping a harvest of goodness. And that's the way I see you. So that's just what I wanted to say.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
You never saw the kite moment, and I'm glad.
Oh, I had moments like that, too.
Yes. I'm glad to know I'm in good company. Well, let's greet each other, huggy break, and...
Oh, I have some...
I talked with our board members about this. And it's a need has come with the computer. We need it for access to the internet for about maybe a half an hour a week. But it helps with the loading of the recorded service to a site called WeTransfer. Also, when we get songs from CCLI, when Ken and Laurie send me songs and we put them in the computer, that computer has no internet. It's barely a flicker. And that's giving it credit. we can't get the song, and it's very difficult to access that. So I asked if it would be all right if I asked any of you. Now, we have two of us, but there's two more. I would like to know, and this is between you and the Lord, but if it's you, let me know privately. I would like to ask if there might be two of you that could maybe, no, not maybe, this would be the need, $25 a month, once a month, to help us offset the cost. The whole service from VTEL is $139. The church phone bill runs around $40 or $41, so the $100 would offset the cost of the internet, and they're actually coming Tuesday to hook it up. So, but it's not going to be the lightning speed, it's going to be the lower price range, but it'll be absolutely perfect for us. We don't use it much, the computer's off all week. The only time I leave it on is Saturday night overnight, and the security that I'm going to put in it is one that our son recommended, and we have it, and it's very inexpensive, and I will pay for that. And it can do all of its searches when I turn it on Saturday afternoon, put the songs in for Sunday morning. That's when it can do its search overnight and do the security scan. I will set it up to do it in the middle of the night because that's the only time the computer stays on. So it's come to the point where U.S. Cellular gave us a little box on the wall, but most of the time it has hardly a half a bar of signal, and it doesn't work very well at all. So that's the need, and ask the Lord if that might be you. But I have two that are committed to that, and so we need, I hardly ever ask for money or anything, but this is for something that we've come to that place where it would be really, really helpful, and we would all benefit by it. So now we can have a huggy break. That way I could catch you all at once, and I only have to say it once.